Audio services provided by Planet Chiropractic. www.planetchiropractic.com.
This is Dr. Michael DeRoush with Planet Chiropractic. The interview you're about to hear is with Dr. Joe Accurso. We were rolling the tapes, and I had asked Dr. Joe Accurso a question about becoming a master. We're going to fade into his answer now.
Have you ever noticed that when you see an athlete, I follow athletics in college, and you'll find a fellow who's a football player, a basketball player, and he doesn't speak very well. He has very little to say, and the style with which he says it is mediocre at best. But once he becomes more famous athletically and gains more confidence, all of a sudden his grammar's better, he's a better speaker, he has more to say, more depth to his expression, and it's because he's become a master. In other words, when you're on the road to mastery and you know you're getting there and you're understanding certain things, you can take that confidence from that field and now apply it to other fields, and that's called charisma. You can do it in sculpting, you can do it in painting, and once you learn those principles that you, in other words, in the field that you're a master at, then apply those principles to other fields. In the old days, what they did is they found the educational system of the people in the Renaissance would consist of finding where that kid's passion was, having him become a master, say, like Michelangelo. He was a master at stone. He could feel stone and become one with stone. He became a master at sculpting, not painting, not mathematics. He knew nothing about that. He became a sculptor, and the confidence that he had attained sculpting and the principles that he learned were applicable to other areas. He picked up geometry in a week, picked up other areas. So he had learned to love knowledge. The way we do it in the Western society is we find out where you are weak. If you're weak in mathematics, we drill you in mathematics. You begin to revolt. You don't want, learning is no longer fun with you because you weren't allowed to follow your passion. And become a master in one area and then apply those principles and those passions for learning into other areas. That's what I think charisma is. You know, when you can become a master just in one field. And then learn the other things.
When you spoke today, you mentioned an event you had in 1979 that impacted your life. Could you tell us about that?
I was listening to a tape by Reggie Gold, and he said that when we adjust the spine, symptoms can reduce, increase, or remain the same. What I got out of that was that our job was not to reduce or increase symptoms, but to reduce the subluxation and permit thy will be done, innate's will be done. And that freed me, because now I understood that many times when you do adjust a patient, the fever will go up. They'll be more sensitive to bad food. They'll have diarrhea more quickly when they eat food that's not right. If they have something going on in the lungs and they need to expel it, with a good nerve supply, they'll expel it more frequently and more forcefully. Their cough will worsen. So once I was free of that, and I could explain that to my patients absolutely loved the idea. That was a big one for me.
So that's where it started.
That's where it started. And of course it started at DE. DE gave me the service concepts. I mean, that DE was so important for me. And it gave me a sense of lasting purpose. I wanted to do something with my life greater than becoming the richest guy in the cemetery. Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny thing about integrity. If you stay with it, integrity is a funny thing. In the short run, integrity never pays off financially. In the long run, it always does. It really does. So at first, though, you think when the volume goes up and the money's not there, you get scared. You want to run for the hills. But you have to stay with it, and then things happen. And Pasquale Sarasoli, who became a multimillionaire, he said, by accident. He almost apologized for it. By accident. It just was there because he was doing right. He was living within the laws of nature. He was abundant. And in being abundant, the universe met his abundance and produced more abundance. So that's the key.
You think we tend to do that where, for example, you said apologizing for being a millionaire?
It's a good question. Why do we apologize for being a millionaire? Because probably society thinks that people who are wealthy in a certain field, whether it's a football player who's a fine runner, or a basketball player, or a chiropractor, or a great sculptor, most people tend to think that the reason they made the money is they wanted to make money. Now, I'm sure you can make a lot of money by wanting to make a lot of money. But you take Barry Sanders, he did not become a great runner because he wanted to make money. He became a great runner first, and the money was a byproduct. See, that's the key. Follow your passion. In most instances, you'll find that I think following your passion is the way to make a lot of money if you're interested in making a lot of money. But if that money can be number two on the list or three or four, you're going to do real fine. And you'll do it for a long period of time. I'm not saying I don't like money. I love money. Oh, I do. But there are other things I love more.
After being in practice for several years and actually having a practice that's done well, how do you continue to motivate yourself on a daily basis without just becoming complacent with the way your practice is?
What a good question. What a good question. I enjoy my practice more now than I ever have. And it's because of what I'm learning. I'm learning in the last year or two that we simply are our spirit and not our body. When you understand that, then you realize you were never born. You never die. There is no death. And if you do not fear death, give me something to fear. I want to hear it. If there is no death, give me something to fear. If you can get to a point where there is no death, even pain can't get to you. See, there's the real key. When BJ said, we are our spirits, that we are not our bodies, all the enlightened masters that I've read reflect that same idea, that we are not. And when that happens, there are no more fear thoughts. And that's really what chiropractic philosophy and I'd say spiritually really has to teach, that we are simply spirits and we've scooped up some matter, we've organized it into what we call a body, and like this coat, I drop it, I drop the body, and things go on. And that leads to forgiveness, it leads to all the wonderful things that can set a person free. When a patient realizes that they're not guilty, when a patient realizes that they're good inside and that they have no fear, then that subluxation, that chronic subluxation that was caused by fear is gone. And you can really start unlocking some chronic subluxations that a lot of chiropractors have. That's a big one. That's about as big as it gets. So that's why I still love practice. Because now I tell this to patients and they, you see the look on their face, they actually, you can actually see them stand up lighter as they leave. As they leave. Because they know I'm sold on that idea. It has to be. When you study chiropractic and study what BJ had to say and the enlightened masters, that's what they said. And they weren't fooling around. And they, every one of them said it. But for some reason, society, especially Western society, benefits in people believing that we are our bodies. It's not that the people are evil. They're good people, the Western people. There's no doubt about it. But they can profit off that idea. And it's a lie. It really is.
Okay, then. So along the same lines, do you have days where you may be frustrated with the misconceptions that patients may come in? And what would you do on a day like that, where a day, for example, where just everybody just doesn't seem to get it?
If what I said is true, then everything in your life, just the way it is working for your good. But I mean in an extreme fashion. To be able to be content, irregardless of the situation, is real peace. That's the key. And when you have that type of faith, then the rewards you get, the blessings you get are incredible. It's at the moment, and I'm not talking about Jesus from a theological standpoint, I'm talking about a generic philosophical standpoint. When he was crucified, he had faith immediately that they didn't kill him because he didn't think he was his body. He needed instant ascension. If when the walls are crumbling in your office, if at that point, and it's okay to feel terrible and to feel small and to feel fearful at that moment, but if at that moment you can just have a little bit of willingness, tell the Spirit, the Great Spirit, I'm willing not to feel this way. The blessings will come so fast, make your head spin. I just had a day the other day, we had four new patients on the books. Every one of them failed. It was 4:30. Every one of them failed to come in. They just didn't even show. 0-4. And I don't care how many years you're in practice, you always want a few new patients in a day. And on that day, that was at 5:30, and I worked till 7. We had five new patients call from that particular moment to 7 o'clock. Now, it certainly could be coincidence, but when it happens time after time after time, it's not coincidence. And I can tell you story after story where the blessings, when you can have faith immediately. Let's say you have a girlfriend and you break up and you're really hurt and you're bleeding inside. I had a friend of mine, a patient of mine, tell me that he had gone to a bar to have a drink. And this not a bar, it was a social club. And a nice lady came up to him and wanted to make small talk. And he said he's not in the mood. If he would have had faith, that could have been his special gal. And in other words, so having faith at the moment of crucifixion is the key. See, there's the real key. If you can have it then when things aren't going right and you keep that faith, the blessings, wow, instant.
What would you say is the most helpful type of community involvement that you could do for meeting people in your community?
I'd say do something you enjoy. If you're an athletic, if you're a sports fan, maybe you'd want to get involved with some of the programs put on in athletics. I've been with the Boys Clubs of America in Miami for 27 years. I help them. And that's nice. You meet people, and you get to do a lot of good for the community. Every penny that's raised at the Boys Club goes to the kids. I mean, there's none of that money gets lost in funny places. And these are kids that are poor and could go the wrong way, and getting involved that way is real good. And of course, I do a lot with the young chiropractors in the area. Understand the philosophy. So,
you have quite a reputation in the field for helping so many chiropractors do what they do better.
You know, if you want to do it, you'll do it. What we do is, Danny Abecture does most of the, I get the credit because I do a lot of speaking. And Danny does a lot, is doing more and more speaking. But Danny Abecture is really the heart and soul of what's going on in South Florida chiropractically. I help, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, there are other people, Paula Hedgelon, Dick Santo now. Those guys are really, cool. We have a lot, very high percentage of very principal chiropractors in South Florida.
Along that subject, we often hear that Saturday Night Live. I understand you were the first to do such a thing.
Right. We were in Miami. My wife gave it that name. Ellen named it Saturday Night Live. I said, what a stupid name. But it's Saturday night. And we kind of make it like entertainment, and we realize people want to get out of there by 10 o'clock. But it's really rewarding, and it's easy to do. You just find a place, and you do it. Even if there's only 5 or 10 people that come. If you're practicing in a low population density, and you've got 5 or 6 people that are doing it, that's fine.
We have one in Los Angeles.
Do it. Keep doing it.
How do you discuss chiropractic care with people who are just thoroughly indoctrinated with chiropractic as a pain therapy?
First of all, I think we have to understand that some people are not ready for chiropractic care. They're just not ready. It's not their time. And that's perfectly okay. And that's number one. So we present it to them, and if they're not ready for that, we let them know that we're available for them. And when they're ready to go, let's go. I think out of 10 new patients, when we do, say, a new patient orientation, I think if we try to sell every one of them on what we're doing, we're going to water it down. I think if 4 of them get turned off, your message is strong enough, and 4 of them get turned off, you're going to have 2 in that group that are going to really refer. But if you give it to where all 10 of them like it, none of them are going to refer.
That's important.
That's real important. So you got to sing your song. And so many times, I think chiropractors try to find patients, and they try to find the right patients. What we need to do is to try to become the right chiropractors. That's really the key. You do that, and the referrals just come. They just come because they feel you love. They feel you're concerned. And not that every day I'm in love with everybody. There are some days I come in there. Hey, Babe Ruth struck out 4 times in a day, many times. But on the way back to the dugout, he was willing to hit a home run the next time, and he was constantly trying to do that. I mean, if you heard me from time to time in my office, when I get upset with a patient, the things I can say are just amazing. I mean, I'm a human being, and I hear myself say that, and I walk out, and I say, my God, if some of the kids that I lecture to could hear me, they'd say, is that Joe Accurso? Yeah, that is. Now, I try like crazy, after I strike out like that, to become a new man in the next room and ask for some help. I think the asking of the help, in other words, say, I'm willing to perceive and see the situation differently. And if you do, then all of a sudden wonderful things start to happen. But we need to ask for help. The grace of God is a very nice thing to ask for from time to time. And I'm not getting religious here. I'm just telling you what the spiritual laws are.
How often do you recommend holding patient education classes in the office?
I know Walter Sanchez does it twice a week, and he has a rocking practice in Miami. Danny Abecture does it 2 or 3 times. I do it once a week, and that seems to do it in my office.
Do you feel, though, that is something that everybody should be doing?
I think it's something that you should be doing, especially if you can learn that chiropractic is not about controlling symptoms. Because once you get there, you've got a song to sing. If you're going to sing a song and you have no song to sing, you got a real problem. So I don't see how you could really have a rootin' tootin' orientation unless you had something that was different to say. Something that was exciting. And it's pretty exciting, you know, when you tell people that the doctor lives inside them. That's exciting for them. The technology's inside you. The greatest technology in the world. And when you tell them this thing, I mean, they know it. You can see in their eyes. They say, I knew that. On a certain level, I knew that. I may not have consciously been able to verbalize that, but I knew that. And that's the key. Let them know that it's inside. We even tell them that they adjust their own spine. All we do is really unlock it. And then if they begin to listen to their body, sit in the positions that are comfortable, use the pillows that are comfortable, do all these things that their wonderful intelligence tells them to do, assuming they're getting adjusted and they're unsubluxating, then they put their own bones back into place. I mean, the big star of the show in your office is the innate intelligence. And you just happen to... My best referring patient, listen to this. She comes in, she's referring 2 patients a day. And she's not a very eloquent speaker, but she's doing it. And this is going on for day after day. It's about 4 or 5 weeks. And here she is with another patient. She's walking the patient through. And she's in the waiting room and she's showing the patient the spine and the disc and the nerves and blah, blah. And then she comes to the chart of effects and goes into that. And I'm standing there as she just walks right by me and throws her thumb out at me and says, that's the chiropractor. And this is the chart of effects where the nerves go over here. I was just a small part of the deal. Do you understand where she was coming from? She wasn't selling me. She was selling the innate intelligence within that patient. And this is the guy who happens to unlock things. He's the unlocker. He's innate's gopher. And then you can start operating with humility in your office when you call them doctor and you're Joe. Now the referrals begin. I mean, that's where all heaven and hell breaks loose, let me tell you. I mean, when you get to that point. You know, you go to school for 8 years as a chiropractor and you want to be called doctor. Oh, gosh, it's a tough one. It's tough to get over. I mean, you've got loans, you know, you're the doctor. And what we do is we try to put our chiropractic knowledge as a chiropractor against that of the medical doctor. No. We put the technology of medicine against the technology of innate. Now let's play ball. So that's the way we do it in the office. My son does it so beautifully. He practices in Rome, Italy now. Man, oh man, he's busy as can be. He's a quiet guy. Quiet guy, doesn't say much, but he knows. And when he tells you something, he puts something in the sentence, you never forget it. Because he comes from the heart and he lives it.
What is the first thing you think about upon awakening in the morning?
First thought I give is to God. The first thought I give. I say, hey, this is your show. That's the first thought. And sometimes being brought up Catholic, I'll do a sign of the cross, which I feel good about. And that's basically it, yeah.
Where do you see this profession going in the next decade?
Next decade is going to be big. Right now, society is recognizing alternative health care, which is diagnose and treat with herbs and vitamins, okay, basically. But you see right under the surface there, right under that surface is the doctor within. And we've got a lot of allies up in our area. What's holding us down is that we can't run with it real fast because right now we can't let go of that big jar called low back pain. And so we really can't run with it. But I think the ICA leadership understands this. And I believe that they are getting a lot closer to letting go of that jar and really coming out with the truth. That's the key. We got to get to that point. I think the ICA has fine leadership, and they're just about to make a very heroic change in that area. I smell it. I see it. Things are very rosy. I've got 4 kids that are either chiropractors or studying to be chiropractors. What I fear is that when society realizes what we have and what the upper cervical adjustment is, I just wonder if we're going to be able to do a good enough job with all the masses. And this is, I'm very concerned about it. How are we going to be able to handle that many people and do it right? I think what you're doing with this program right here, we'll be able to tell Mrs. Jones, now Mrs. Jones, look, we're adjusting here. You've got to learn about chiropractic. You've got to learn more about chiropractic. You've got to get on your computer and understand this and this before the next visit. You've got to do that. And they'll do that because it's self-empowering information. Mm-hmm. And with education, with tapes, things such as this, with the things we're putting on computers, we're going to do great. But the chiropractors, see, what's funny about it is that the reason that many of the chiropractors who are not into innate chiropractic, they're practicing because they think what they're practicing is accepted. As soon as the subluxation and the adjustment become accepted, some of these so-called ACA anti-chiropractic chiropractors are going to have very high practices, high volume practices, because what they're doing is going to be accepted. You see? So it's bright as far as popularity. I just hope that when it's our turn to get up to the bat and they throw us these beach balls, we're going to be able to hit them.
So then what are some of the things you would like to see us as a profession improve upon?
To do is we need to get chiropractors to be available either on or off campus at every single school. Principal chiropractors who will cover 4 or 5 basic philosophical questions like the non-importance of symptoms. In other words, be able to get these chiropractors like you, like me, to hit every single school to be able to make available good chiropractic philosophy for any student on any campus to be able to listen to that chiropractor and talk to that chiropractor, interact with that one. And even if it's only 10 chiropractors from, say, National College, the volume that those 10 chiropractors are going to see compared to the rest of that, those 10 chiropractors will probably see more volume than the rest of the entire national student population.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we need to do it regardless of how many students show up. But that's the thing, and I'm thinking of doing that. We're working on it right now. I'm working on it with a couple of chiropractors in the Northeast, and we're going to see if we can get that program on its way to just about every college. Life College gets the philosophy. Sherman College is Life West, obviously. And Palmer, I guess, with Reichman now is getting it. So some of the colleges are doing a good job. But that we have to recruit the students. We have to get the students to at least be exposed to this thing. And they love it. They absolutely love it.
So do you feel that we have a responsibility or even more an obligation to mentor students that are currently in school or students that are even thinking about going into school?
Absolutely. That's what Saturday Night Live is all about. Most of the people who attend our meeting are the young chiropractors. See, once they get it, they tend to stay away for a while, and then 10, 15 years later, they come back in to help again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. We've got to get the young chiropractors. And many times we get very discouraged because we see out of, say, Life College, say, 1,500 students, we only have, say, 200 at DE. But those 200 are the ones that are going to see more, three times as much as the 1,300 who don't show. So one principal chiropractor is a very powerful force in this universe.
Well, with that, Dr. Joe, I'd like to thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Dr. Joe, and thank you for tuning in for this Planet Chiropractic broadcast.